Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. We want to get right to the point today. And what I mean by that is to get off to a good start. You know, as we are aware, or we become aware of the fact that we don't control as much as we think we control. And it just takes us swallowing a few humble pills to get us to really recognize that and come back to our senses and recognize that a lot of what we claim to control is just the world of man taking credit for something he can't take credit for. But he's been doing it so long, and we've been listening so long, it's become the norm. And we follow the status quo, you know, whatever is popular and whatever is fashionable and whatever's been suggested to us is the way to go, and after that follows happiness and just fun and just a great life, you know. But you know, as they show you on there, and I'm gonna go to my mantra. But as they show you after you take the little pill, that's the way they advertise medication. That it's just the little pill we got here, and it's got some side effects. It's not perfect, you know, that's what they say. But they say it's the best thing going. But what they don't say, and I don't think they'll ever say, is that a lot of the problem that you're having is being caused by what I'm doing or what you're not doing. It's very important that we make that distinction. Life has already been made and put in place, and is very logical, is very intentional, is very inspirational. It's a daily influence. Every day we get influenced by life that the Creator created, and it's in the environment, and it does what it does. Man comes behind him and tries to duplicate or tries to suggest to us that he's in control and he's the big shot and he's the big, you know, he'll say things like, this is good as it gets. You know, and we're supposed to swallow that hook, line, and sinker. But as you see in the world today, people are asking better questions. People are not going for the hype like they used to as much as they do. Now, there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening that shouldn't be happening. But there's a lot happening that maybe we don't know about, or maybe we haven't tested the water long enough to see that it is addressing a lot of things that we thought we weren't going to get addressed. It is showing us and educating us and making us aware of a lot of things that we thought we never know, or that we didn't even think we needed to know. I know that was the case for me. I didn't think I needed to know. I was in with the in crowd. I was doing my thing. I was unapologetic about it, and I was definitely under the influence of racism. I wasn't the racist as much as I was a victim of the racist society that had two things that really just cut to the core. And one of them was double standards. You know. The other one was, I guess you could say three, entitlement and privilege. Those three things, subtly or boldly, wreak havoc and continue to wreak havoc in a lot of people's lives. because we just can't seem to wrap our mind around it. We can't come up with any kind of logical reasons for anybody to do that and then rationalize that they're superior and give a very shallow description of their superiority by skin color, hair texture, eye color, and the fact that the material accomplishments that they supposedly have made. That's what we bought hook, line, and sinker. Now, there's some other things in there that make this more possible, but when you really just pull back the covers a little bit and peep at what's been containing people and continues to contain people, you see that it's not very powerful, and you see why Scripture suggests to us and tells us it's just a web. Just like you see a spider web, a little flimsy thing with a bunch of intricacies in there and get you all entangled in that, and next thing you know, you don't know whether you're coming or going. We don't know. Are we coming or going? And we don't recognize the scams, even though they're right there in front of our face. So let me stop with that. You know, let me stop with that and let you think about that. And let me acknowledge that my commitment that gets me excited about Monday gets me, you know, trying to see if I can put some words together that Allah will bless me to wake somebody up or make somebody aware or get their attention. And that's why my commitment to not waste your time, nor insult your intelligence. And there's limitations on that. I'm going to say some things that people don't agree with. So, but it's not me trying to tell you what to think. It's not me trying to insult your intelligence or not me trying to waste your time. Because if you literally look, if you really just look around and give about this thing we call life and the role that the Creator plays in it, for all of his creation, especially the anointed ones who are human and who we're willing to, after some levels of education, to lead, have the leadership to take humanity out of the darkness and into the light. And the first step of taking somebody out of the darkness into the light is making them understand that they've been in the darkness and they've been calling it light. See, but we don't have an answer. Well, if it's light and it's not darkness, why are we looking the way we're looking? Why are we thinking the way we're thinking? Why are we not benefiting the way we should be benefiting? Why does equality escape us time after time after time after time? Or maybe it's what we've been led to believe is equality. It's causing it to escape. Because one man is saying, I'm better than you because of A, B, C, and D. And we reply, no, you ain't. But we're filled up with trauma and hurt and emotions, so we don't have the good evidence that makes it clear to him, us, and the other human world that we live in, the other human beings who by nature and awareness will rally against wrong and those who are perpetrating it, and they won't take sides. They won't be lured into some fancy talk or some you scratch my back, I scratch your back type of talk. They won't be lured into that. Wrong is wrong, no matter where it's at. Two wrongs don't make a right. And if I have been misled and I'm following a lie, my nature tells me to repent and seek redemption. Now, if my nature not intact, it may make me unapologetic. It may make me unaware. It may make me stubborn and going down with the ship type of thing, that I'm not going to give up those double standards. I'm not going to empower people or educate people to not only get the slice of pie, but how to develop their own pie. I'm not going to do that. I think I'm elite. I think I'm entitled. And I think that this privilege that has come to me, God has blessed it to come. Now, I don't think that way, and you don't think that way. That thinking is out there, and it's still influencing people and the decisions that they make or don't make as it relates to who's really in charge. In a society that advocates the things that I've just been talking about, they're in charge because they're the providing leadership that influences people to think that way, to be inclined that way, or to try to restore order. But like I said before, if you're not clear, level-headed, with perspective, and you have universal, if you don't have universal principles and a grip on scripture and history, you're going to fail. Because even though it's a web of destruction, it has time on its side. It has developed a sophistication of not only devilishment, but the times that we live in. And you can see people being deceived right before your eyes and being lied to right in front of your face. And they now endorse and claim the people who are lying to you rather than the people who are trying to set them free. Not only do they endorse it and align themselves with it, they defend it. They buy into it and they say, hey, this is my salary. This is you messing with the cha-cha now. You messing with the money. Which means what? I have sold my soul to these forces in the name of progress and in the name of my people aren't going to ever do anything to get us in a better shape materially, socially, spiritually, so I better get to getting while the getting's getting good. And they what? Get good at it. And swallow their pride. You know, swallow their conscience. And go forward and then have an explanation at the end of that trip of why they did what they did. And try to convince you that if you were in my situation, you would have done or you would be doing the same thing. They say, and it's true, life is too short. But for the conscious man, that statement doesn't mean get to getting good. It says, do today like you might not be here tomorrow. That's a paraphrase. You can say that way. You can say it. Act like you're going to live. You're going to die tomorrow, but you're going to live 1,000 years. Or something to that effect. And that strikes a balance, a nice balance. And it gets you up in the morning with an agenda that's purpose-driven, passion, or prosperity. Because in this society, they tell you it's all about the money. That's the bottom line in the world of man or in a capitalistic society or in a nationalistic society, but not in a society that is governed by universal principles and truth and the light of truth determines what's really real and what's not real, what's really intelligent and what's not really intelligent, what's really morally sound and not and something that's not morally sound, what's right and what's wrong. It's no longer a guessing game. It's no longer I think, I hope, I believe. The results give you the power and influence you and give you put us in a position to now influence future generations. And if you don't believe it, all you got to do is look in the mirror. If you can relate to what I'm saying, then you are a child or a product of what I'm talking about. Now, are we all the way there? No. Not even close. And one of the reasons that we're not even close is that we've been fed the message as if these are physical entities. I'm pausing because that's this part is very, very important. We get a description of God as if he's sitting on a throne somewhere up in the sky that we call heaven. You ever notice or ever wonder why we call it sky, or scripture calls it sky, and the so-called learned people, they call it heaven. And there's a good reason they call it heaven, because when that state of mind overpowers you, that spirit comes into you, it's just like being in an elevated state or in a heavenly state. And the only thing the sky got to do with this is when you look up, you see all this beautiful architectural, and see no way that it's being held up, and you see that they say it came into existence, all of this beauty, and this is just a light, it's light years away, as other beauties, other universes, other galaxies. It just happens and was coordinated by. Now, the Big Bang might have took place, but the coordination and the construction and the connections suggest it had a creator. You go in your backyard and get some dynamite or get a firecracker and have this explosion, and you'll see the experience. It cannot calculate, maintain, sustain, bring something else into existence and then give it to maintain itself and provide the kind of human leadership that human beings need, benefit from, care about, and will die for if the call is needed, or if the call is made and it's needed. But if you listen to how it's emphasized, it's not emphasized, get ready to die. Live and then die to some things that may be keeping you from living. So once again, how are you going to get to that message if you think it's a physical death? How are you going to understand how to take that and translate it into what it really means, how to apply it? Because I know when I first read it, I said, well, wait a minute. wait a minute there. You can't die so that you – how are you going to die that you may live? And then is there death from life and life from death? How that going to happen? How you going to bring something out of dead, something that's dead, and then make it come alive? But all you have to do is go and visit nature, and you see it all the time. All you have to do is be out there at an early sunrise and see the impact that the sun has on us here on Earth and just in general in the universe. We're not the only one impacted by what the sun does. We can translate it and help people understand it. What you guys stayed out there too long, or the ecosystem is gotten damaged, and the rays are coming through, and those same rays that contain certain entities. One of them is we just said vitamin D is so beneficial when it comes into the circle or comes into the of the human being. And they have not stopped finding and counting the ways that the human being, that the sun affects the human being, and how we would be without it. Because after the sun goes down, we then come to a state of darkness. And actually, when it rises, we rise. When it goes down, we rest. We begin to get sleepy to get ready to rest so we can do it all over again. But you notice the conversation now? Because something has died that was alive, and I get up and go, it's got up and gone. So most people have to fight to get up out of bed to go to work. And they can't wait for some time off or Friday. Can't wait. talk about it like it's the only reason I'm here. I'm living for Friday, and don't let that Friday be a payday Friday. How did our life get reduced to those terms and those circumstances by the majority of the people? And they call selling their soul and their dignity a blessing, a miracle. And they're thinking the individual who created the situation that put them in a position to have a little better materialism, you know? And then they give us little slogans to go by. You see, the difference between men and boys is their toys. Do you examine that? And do you just laugh about it and say, well, that's true? And go out and try to allocate and secure yourself with enough toys to join the ranks of men and not the boys. Playing deceptive tricks on us with some logic or with some anecdotal philosophical terminology that doesn't add up. Our manhood or even our adulthood, male or female, we first see the role that the soul had, and we say things that, I'm not going to do that. That's beneath me. You know, I'm going to educate myself so that I won't fall victim to it. Okay. So those are the kind of mantras and jargon and affirmations that people say and use and do and apply. And then comes what? The benefit. How long? Immediately. Our eyes open to something that they were shut at. So what does that mean? It's possible to be walking unconsciously and in a state of death, and you have to resurrect yourself or be born again to get back to the intended place. But it's not a location. It's not geography. It's not something that comes because I'm on the what? Stairway to heaven. Ain't no stairway to heaven. Not literally, not physically. But when you have it presented like it's like that, people think that you went from one grade or one state and it was climbing the ladder of success. So people hear this elevation and enlightenment, and they immediately start thinking about physical. And not only do they immediately do it, but someone gives a narrative or a story that suggests that that's the way it is. Not telling us that to get access to the abstract, I got to deal with some things concrete. But does that mean that the concrete is the end all be all? No. The concrete is to introduce and give evidence to the abstract that we may not can see. Well, not that we may not can see. It doesn't have physical, it's not a physical entity. Well, let's look at it. Can you go to the store and buy a can of love? Okay. Can you go and buy a bushel or carton full of hope? No. So these type of comparisons get us into what we consider, we say, is the meat. See, once again, it's another saying, it's another symbol that's going to elevate and enlighten our thinking, and it has a never-ending reservoir of enlightenment and elevation. So you had the philosophers telling you the sky was the limit. Because in their mind, there was an ending. But when you really look at it, it's a never ending. You're never going to not need to go and visit the Word of God, because there is the will there, the way there, and the work that you got to do to stay there. And once we lose that, everything can be lost. You see, you think people do all that stuff that they do because they're poor. No. They're poor in hearing the Word of God. That's the poverty that they experience. They're hungering and thirsting and needing and knowing that something's missing. Can't put your finger on it. Don't have a name for it. But you can tell people, man, I'm catching hell. Or you can say that popular saying that comes out when adversity shows up. Oh my God! Without even questioning or thinking about it. What is this? It's our nature. When we come to the end of that road, we still got a little hope in there, and we say we can turn to somebody, turn to something, and announce myself and pronounce that I am in need of help. Or I just saw, you know, they got it now so they can play with it. I saw a phenomenon and I thought I would never see it. Oh my God. See, if you were sincere, if you had an element of taqwa or a sacred regard or inborn apparatus, this is danger, danger, danger. You know, like the alarm goes off when you call, step back. You know, don't come any closer. Something is registering with me that you're not the owner or you're not supposed to be getting in. That's why I'm alarmed and I'm sounding the alarm. Can it be false triggers? Yes. What does that suggest? That it's not perfect. But in light of what the future may hold, it's good enough for now to let me know or let us know potential danger there. And we see the same thing with Scripture. There's a cautionary note to say, don't be so quick to leap and take things hook, line, and sinker. Give it an examination. See how many different ways and translations and applications that this may have to conflict with the one little one that they told you, which really end up just saying, be good, do good. All the sophistication that we're living with in this world today did not come from just people being good. They stretch that imagination. They took a three or four words and it ignited their hunger for discovery. What if? Isn't that what most theories or a lot of theories start with? What if? What if we did this or did that or we used this or put that? And then we're told necessity is the mother of invention. You've got food, clothing, and shelter. Now you need to be able to maintain it in a way where it keeps it intact and refrigeration. And all that comes as a result of having to do something with your food and then worry about it spoiling or worry about it, you know, coming under some kind of influence that you don't want it to. And it goes from there. But not without a conscious effort. Because what can happen It's what you see happening today. People want to do nothing and get something. That sense of what? Entitlement. I shouldn't have to work this hard. God got all this wealth, all these resources and whatnot. And yet and still you got people away with all that armor, you know. So you start questioning God's fairness. He's not a just God. He let the fat get fatter, he let the rich get richer. So what's needed? Some type of evidence that will give us an examination to see and put in perspective that particular thought, because it's not true. There's one thing that we all have when we wake up in the morning, and that's time. In time, or with time, or proper use of time, will bring about the equality that you're looking for, especially if you have incorporated, had an examination, got your education with scripture or the word of God. Because it's going to tell you that all this time, you were not fully in the light. We did not fully have all of the truth to be able to get the full benefit that God intended. For what? Those who claim to believe in him, claim to be believers, and then they act upon that claim. And they pray to that creator, answers those prayers. And that causes us to even pray more and to pray for others to come alive, to die to the old person and come alive to the new person. And then come alive to the spirit that says, I'm going to help others like I've been helped, because those that were given much is required. So I meet that challenge. I answer that challenge. I allow myself to be inspired by that challenge. And I try to be a role model to inspire other people to accept the same challenge. And I get perspective and recognize many will call, but few will choose. It's not going to be a lot of people. It's just not. I was stopping by the eatery before I came, and I was sitting in the car waiting because it wasn't ready. So he told me to maybe another 15 minutes. So this family came out. Just looking at them, it looked like Middle Eastern, maybe Indian or something or whatnot, you know. Looked like, after I looked at them and got a better look, looked like a father and his two daughters. Well, the father had just paid the bill, so he had just balled it up in a knot, and instead of throwing it in the trash or putting it in his pocket, he just threw it on the ground. When he was in the middle, and the older-looking daughter, she was coming on ahead, but the youngest daughter, she was back, hanging back a little bit. And she looked up, and I looked up, and we made eye contact. I didn't say nothing. I just said eye contact. But I did think. I thought this thought. I said, yeah, I saw that you saw that your father threw the paper on the ground. Get that paper up. And then I waited. And sure enough, she walked down the steps. She reached down and picked up the paper. Now, she didn't say nothing. But she saw that I saw that she picked up the paper. But what really picked up the paper? She had more consciousness about a role and a responsibility that she's supposed to play as a Muslim or as a human being. We're not supposed to litter, waste, and throw our trash out here on God's good earth that he gave to us So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to leave it better than you found it, to be in an enlightened state to do that, to feel that way, to meet that challenge, to see that it's not work. Trash people. Let them trash men get that. Whose community is this? Whose store? The owner is the owner, but who does the owner rely on? The customer. See? And what really gets the customer in the store making the purchase? Consciousness. Yeah, we are a community. We got to build this community. You can't do it without resources. I can't do it. So we have to what? Do it together. We have to work together to make it work. That's a divine principle or requirement or level of consciousness that has to be present. When you see a lot of progress, but you only see a few people benefiting, something's wrong. Because it's implying that only a few people have enough sense to do this. And though I may not invent the computer, I have enough sense to know the value of the computer and the role it should play. So I have a computer. I have a laptop. I have these technological entities to benefit my life. But I don't allow them to become a source of worship. I thank Allah for blessing humanity with this capability and ability. And I look around and gain circumspect that I'm truly blessed to be in a time when all this is going on, but also when there's hungry people in the world, uneducated, unsophisticated people in the world who are living in abject poverty, and they're doing things that you wouldn't normally expect, immoral things, just to get the food, clothing, and shelter that's supposed to be here for all of us. And there's certain communities of people, certain countries, that entity that is very important, female, mother, grandmother, is taking on a lifestyle, food on the table, and cover the rent. And you can see that rather than getting the blessing of aiding someone, they're taking advantage and acting out fantasies with unenlightened people and who people who don't see any other way than that way. And they fall victim. Because it's so prevalent and it seems so easy. But it's a major defeat on the part of forces that want to prove to God that we're not worthy. He could be helping people, but he's taking advantage. Stealing not only the person, but the person's innocence. Very, very important, that thing called innocence. See? And when you get robbed of it too early, hardcore, traumatized, wrong relationship with certain things, they weren't intended to be used like that. That's not only a violation, it's a disobedient. Even though it's an ignorance, still disobedience. So what has to happen? Consequences have to happen to show you this ain't right. It's not good. This is not the way you succeed in life or at life. This transaction should not be a part of the transition that you made. And then the individual who's taking advantage of the situation simply throws on the court. The age was there and the consent was there. But what about the other circumstances that were there? Was there any attempt to avoid that from happening or to even stop thinking about it happening? And then thinking yourself as some kind of hero for supporting it and saying to them, what would you do without this? When you are vulnerable and you don't have that inward guarding consciousness capable of anything. And so scripture has to jog us, shake us a little bit and tell us that you're the lowest of low. You're below the animal. Animals don't even do that. Okay. Now, is it to beat us down and to make us feel horrible, make us become self-conscious? No. It's simply to get the attention of enough God-fearing individuals to address this rather than a blind eye and think, well, maybe they deserve what they get, or maybe they just lazy because we're not doing that. No. Look into the matter and see if you can't see the problem. And then once you see the problem, you're obligated to start looking for solutions. And one of the things that people don't challenge and call people out on is that, hey, you know better than that. There's nothing that you can say to justify you taking advantage of these people and their situation and exploiting and also, as we mentioned before, stealing something that is valuable as a person's innocence. Because even though we're not totally aware of what we have when we give up our innocence or when we give up to the pressure, something tells us, something haunts us, and we later, or even while we are experiencing it, we condemn it. Something not right about this. And eventually, if you stay with that, it will cause you to rise above it and revolt. A revolution will take place. And you hear revolt, revolution, but also resolution. What did the Jewish people say? Never again. Now, I'm not going to, and whatever follows after that is right or even whatever, but that's a statement. That's a factual statement. We're not going to go through this no more. Never again. See? Will we be at the mercy of other people to where what they say that's wrong is still appealing? Because they're easy money. Where are you going to get $1,000 in a day? A little bit of work that I asked you to do. Where you going to get that kind of money? Where you going to be able to go and over here and go over there now that you got the money? And nobody knows how you got it? Really? They don't care. So the next thing you know, you are building your community on weak, corrupt thoughts that devalue and destroy your human value because you gave in for a few pennies and allow someone to trick you into giving up something that has there's no measure of value on it. There's no money value that can be put on it. How much is your dignity? How much is your innocence? How much would it go for in the market? It don't have a value. You can't sell it. It will become priceless, and it will become a source of protection. Because some things, because you have it, you can't do it. It won't allow you. You know? If you have ever taken anything that didn't belong to you, what came up in you? Your conscience. And you recognize that's not something you're going to run out and tell everybody that you just did it. I stole my bike from, I did this or not. And you're going to have a story and a reason why you got to inherited this nice, pretty bike or car or whatever it is. But the more you can do it and the easier it gets, the more you lose that valuable thing that we just talked about, innocence and consciousness. Okay? And here's the thing about it that just really needs to be emphasized. Once we lose it, it's not that easy to get it back. Okay? Once you start something, it's not that easy to stop. Because we're creatures of habit. And if we don't have a perspective and we don't have a consciousness and we don't evaluate something with the this loss of dignity here. See, I'm going to be put in a category. I'm going to be called something that I'm not going to be proud of, and my parents are not going to be proud of. But if you fall victim to the loss of that, it's not even a question. It's not even coming up as a question. I'm living large and in charge. So we tell ourselves that. But then scripture comes along and tells us, what gain of a man to win the world and lose his soul? What's the benefit? They're not even in the same category. You can't qualify. You can't compare and contrast. Something that came from a state. Now, like I said before, we think heaven's up there somewhere, but it was a higher and a hierarchical entity. It put you and took you out of the level of an animal and made you not capable of what the animal does. But like I said before, there's no, what do you call it, when plotting and scheming on people. The animal does what the animal does to survive as an animal. And it's, if you look at it, because I had a hard time at first too. I was like, wow, man, look at that. Ooh, he's just devouring. But there's laws in the jungle, and there's a natural check and balance that takes place. Why? Because it was built in. It's already in place. You never see where the animal eat up all the wood. Now they might get dry in that area or do whatever, but the ability to reproduce again and to build it up again is there. But the last of the Mohicans type of stuff, where you have the last of your race has been, or not your race, your tribe has been slaughtered. There's going to be no more Mohicans anymore. Who can do that? Man can do that to his fellow man. Exterminate to that point. Make them extinct. Make it not exist anymore. Well, that's some serious tampering. When you didn't bring it into existence and you don't have no problem violating it to where it doesn't exist anymore. And then going right in there, getting to bed and go to sleep. Get up in the morning like nothing happened. That's a serious state that nobody should want. I wouldn't want that on my best, on my worst enemy. Absent of the ability to do what is right, and to not do
What is wrong? Just seeing it is powerful. But the real power comes to us when we don't just say things, but we do things and we do the right things. That needs to be paused on, because many people rationalize what they're doing or what they're not doing to the point it doesn't bother them. And they get a little crowd of people who follow them or endorse that as being all right, when nothing could be further from the truth. It's a little bitty crack that's going to grow and grow until it has the bigness to cause the downfall. And Scripture asks us to go back and look and see how those who fail, and see the grandeur of how they were living before they failed. It's a remnant, but it's a reminder. And sometimes reminding us of certain things is better than informing us. Do you or don't you want to get or avoid getting what they got? Because they didn't heed the warnings. They didn't read the writing on the wall that said, hey, you need to stop that. It may give you a sense of pleasure, but it's not right. And when you are in that state of mind and in that state of consciousness, that thought alone registers with you or registers with us. And it checks us. And what maybe you start to do, you stop. Not only just stop and waiting for tomorrow and better day and no. It has grown to the level to where you control you and your thoughts and your behavior. And though you may think it behave that way anymore. And that's a good thing. Because not only are you helping yourself, you can help others, because now you can tell them, if I can do it, you can do it. And you restore the building blocks in the community that were lost or weren't being utilized, or they were being placed on a surface that wasn't strong and viable. As they tell you, sinking sand. What do they call that? Sand. But that's what happened when you got a foundation like that. Your belief and your foundation on something that's going to last. And if we don't, we shouldn't be surprised when it starts to fall. After having been up a long time. But it's not a long time with God. So that little 700 years that you ruled or reigned or did whatever, it's not nothing. And when history reports the report on you, and it does justice to say, even though you did this, as time passed, you did that. What they say in Nero fiddling while Rome burned. That's a very rich statement. So endowed, so purposeful, and now you've lost the interest and the desire to continue to maintain it. Let it burn. Let it go. Let it happen. You see people giving in the world today for that, to that. They'll let themselves go. I was talking to a guy at work today, and I was telling him I made a couple of resolutions and kind of get on a good routine so I can start the new year and get some things done that I haven't gotten done yet. And he looked at me and tried to convince me that I'm Oh, don't worry about that. That'll take care of itself. You know, enjoy your life. Don't be, you know, putting too much pressure on yourself and stuff and whatnot. You know, that stuff will work itself out. And because he had that state of mind and he had died to the hard work and the sacrifice and the etiquette that you need to have a good community and then maintain that good community so they will thrive and grow and be productive and do what Scripture says. That's why I created you, growing like that, like a plant. You simply got to go out in the garden or go out in the field and see how the plant's growing, how it grows and what it does after it grows and what it yields after it grows. Because somebody made an investment. Somebody cultivated and nurtured because they knew it was going to be a return on that investment. They knew that you reap what you sow so well. You didn't just come about and they're still around because people don't have nothing else to say or do. It's in the category. It qualifies as wisdom for the ages. Don't have to worry about it. It's appeal or dying off or not being applicable. You got to worry no more. So whether we say it like we used to or not, it still holds that power. It's still like a seed. You put it in the ground, it'll grow. Whatever that seed grows. Okay. So I was telling a friend of mine, a lot of, you know, we talk about this, and the little occurrences that are happening in our community with shootings and stuff. And I don't know what the circumstances are. I don't know what the individual has been called. I haven't been following it. I just know a little bit about it. And I know it shouldn't be happening. I know that. And I know some of the things that are causing it to happen. I know that. And I know that somebody is benefiting from our ignorance. When you shoot somebody, that's wrong. But when you kill somebody in a leadership position, that is devilish. Even if you think you or they deserve to get killed, who are you to determine that about a life that you have no charge of bringing into existence? It's even a violation for you to even think about it, let alone do it. The punishment going to come when the thought entered your head and you didn't say, oh, that's crazy. What am I thinking? Let me go somewhere and pray or ask forgiveness or get some strength, man. I'm thinking about killing another human being. My God, what's wrong with me? When that don't happen and it doesn't get to you before you do something that you shouldn't do, that's serious. Because that means you got weak. So weak that you couldn't pick yourself up and get rid of something that you know should not be happening and should not be done. That's not the solution. I'm not going to try to convince myself or talk to anybody who can convince me that that's the thing to do. But too many people today are doing it, and they think they got justification. And I'm talking about leaders talking about we're not going to woo-woo-woo and God is with us and, you know, read some portion of Scripture as if it's been written by God and explain that way. No. If you just read some of Scripture and it's just simple, right on the surface, common sense knowledge, you'll see that there's no contradictory stuff on the part of God like that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't have to do that. So when you hear people suggesting that he's doing that or encouraging you to do that, you should stop and ask them a question and tell them that this is a problem. How can you see, or what would cause God to say all these wonderful things about himself and then do the opposite? Or encourage us to do the opposite? What kind of God is that? I can say this loud and clear. I wouldn't follow a God like that. I won't listen to people who talk like that because that's nonsense. Gotten all this way and some conflicting or somebody's mind is not right and they're going to convince you that God inspired them or gave them permission to do this, that, and the other. And that's why they did it. See, they're crazy for saying it and you're crazy for listening. Or if you're not, you will be. Where's the evidence to support those kind of thoughts and eventually that kind of behavior? Or that kind of disbelief on your part that all of a sudden God is going on a rampage and doing and endorsing this, that, and the other. No. You're misguided individuals and influencing other people to be misguided. So next thing you know, you got a snowball effect. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yes, there's strength in numbers. If you don't have a way to examine it and see that as many as it is doing it, it still shouldn't be done. Because we're not going to do or go by the count. We're going to go by what counts. And until they change that, we can't be a part of that. What is the saying? Is it? Let me see if I can think of how it goes. If you don't, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. When I first heard that, I realized this is a tool. Just like any other tool, when you need it most, because other people may not have the tool or may not have something, I may not apply it the way this one is being applied. And then letting very deceitful people convince them to do wrong and harmful things. And they have bought into this hook, line, and sinker. I think it's all right. I think it's going to make for a better situation. And they haven't been reached in time, and then they are reaching out to others with that false approach that's not logical. It's illogical. And once you have the ability, it won't be evidence, because it'll be evident. It's weak evidence, and with the help of God's word, which is just like light or is life, you won't fall victim. And others won't be easily drawn in either. And that's what we're praying for, working for, hoping for, that we can bring a world that's obviously in the dark about so many things, and unwilling and unable to acknowledge that they are. 314, I'm calling. You know? So we don't have to ask ourselves when it's going to end. It's ending right now as we speak. It actually started ending the minute that they started doing it. Because you see different periods. You see different time zones that were strong and it was weak and it was, you know. But the mere fact that we're talking the way we're talking, it doesn't matter how many are on here talking or not talking or listening. It's time for this to be said. It's time for something to be done. And we know how it starts. See? It starts with one person deciding that they're going to do right. They're going to do better. They're going to be an example. Right? And this type of inspirational, influential conversation has worked, will work, and will continue to work. So we think a lot, and we ask him to continue to bless us, strengthen us, and bless us to see the real strength is in the unity in community. If we get that, a lot of things that we're facing now won't be problems because we got solutions. Okay, let's see here. Let me get my come over here to 314. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, to your very astute radio listener on this IWDM radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the gateway city of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And, man, you was on the road tonight. I didn't even want to press. I'm just sitting and listening and just absorbing, taking this all in, the information and the educational part of the communication. You know, you said so much, and, you know, time would not permit me to make commentary on any, I mean, all of it, but some of it was important. Yeah, I thought it was when you was relating your experience with your coworker and just communicating to him, you know, two things that obviously that you wanted to do, this being a new year on the Gregorian calendar, and of course, we have to and we should relate to people what they relate to in that regard. But it does to show the mindset and disposition that he had. He said, don't worry about that. You know, it'll take care of itself. You only live one time. But this shows, obviously, that the mindset and disposition, how one has been influenced in how they have prioritized their life, or it can show how one has misprioritized their life. You know, you started out speaking about thinking that you're large and in charge, that you're in control. You know, it made me think about, you know, an acronym I often use when I'm doing workshops for young people, youth and young adults, as a matter of fact, in the word IDEA, I-D-E-A, IDEA. And that simply means influence determines eventual action. Influence determines eventual action. And so those persons who think that they're large and in charge, and as you were speaking about consciousness and unconsciousness, you know, died that so that you can live, you know, it just came all together. The influence determines the eventual action. What do you mean by influence? The most dominant, what's prevalent and dominant influence in a person's life will determine the eventual action or the behavior of that person. It also will determine the mindset of that person, the disposition that they take toward things, and which also would dictate their prioritization and how they prioritize in life. And instead of being supportive, or a brother and sister, or even in terms of how we can really express the biggest contribution in looking at community life. We often, at times not being conscious, we inadvertently will say things to a person that are negative and not supporting. Of course, I know that didn't influence you or impact you, because when he opened his mouth, you knew his influence or how he had been influenced in the misprioritization. Life is not just about just having fun. You know, there's a balance that have to come along with it. And there are actually conscious people that know they have an obligation or responsibility to actually make a contribution before they leave this life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral services or what, and if the family gets a preacher and pays him to do the eulogy, but in fact the person never really has made really a viable contribution, they have benefited, they have to make something up. They have to make this person seem like they was more than what they actually were when they actually had that physical life. And because they couldn't die, so they really could live, to live in the life that God created us to live in, and to be able to make viable contributions while we're in this realm of life. You know, I guess it might sound strange to you that, you know, I'm saying this, but this is what came to me, you know, in that regard. And really the use of time, the value of time, by the gift of time. You know, when I think about the Quran and Surah Al-Asr, you know, by the gift of time, that surely man is at loss, or becomes a loser, except for those who maintain and sustain faith in their life. And what does that mean? That means faith in the one who has given us human life, but also the faith in the life that God has given to us, and to have a right understanding in regards to that actually influence and impact our life, so that we don't start out as a victim. We don't start out seeing ourselves as a sinner from the very beginning, you see, and perform, you understand, righteous deeds. Well, to perform righteous deeds, you have to be thinking righteously, with a righteous mind, you know, to do right. The inclination in our nature is really to do right, unless, once again, it's been influenced. You know, so that influence is a powerful, powerful thing, and it's really powerful when you don't know where that influence is coming from. But you actually think you're doing this on your own. You know, Pasha, I know you've heard this before, that young people especially when they reach puberty, adolescence, so you often hear them even tell their parents, "Mama, Daddy, I got a mind of my own." Or even those that don't say, "I have a mind of my own," the thought has come to them that they have a mind of their own. But the reality is that the social environment that we live in is actually influencing our thinking. So the question becomes, where is that influence coming from? And as you said earlier, the greatest influence can be impactful in our life is the word of revelation, what it is that God reveals to us about us that is for us. Oh, I could say a lot more about that, but, man, you just, it's not a cook, Bobby, but there was a lot of information that was disseminated tonight, communication. I really have appreciation for what was said. I was just sitting and just absorbing, but also enjoying it. and appreciate it and value it. You know, it's like that teacher I had in the seventh grade, Mr. Hudson, and he asked a question. I never forget it. Why do you think the Creator gave you two ears and one mouth? Nobody answered. And they looked at two people in the class. Yeah, they always look at the smartest people in the class, Janet Stansel and Mark Jones at that time. And neither one of us raised our hand. So he repeated the question a second time. And then the same results. Neither one of us raised our hand. And Mr. Hudson, he raised his own hand. He said, simple. The Creator wants you to do twice as much listening as you do talking. He said, because when you talk, you only repeat what you know. But if you learn to listen, perchance you get to learn something that you did know, so that when you have an opportunity to talk again, you'll be able to say more than you had before. I love that. I always remember that. And I try to become a practitioner of that. But you know, Pasha, oftentimes when people hear you and they hear you on radio, they hear you talking, they say, well, I don't know when he has time to listen. But if they give you information, that means they have been influenced by something or somebody so that they do have more to say and continuously bring a stream and a stream and a stream of information, education that can be beneficial to all. I appreciate you, my brother and friend. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. I'll be calling back on Brother Mark in a few minutes here to close us out with what's available here on Imam Wahdi Muhammad Blog Talk. But I want to extend to 773 opportunity to share anything that they would like and be a part of the conversation. Not that you're not, but if there's anything that you'd like to say or share, feel free, because like I said before, I want to close it out. I said, like you said, quite a bit, and probably because of last week we weren't on, you know. But I do know this here, that I take to heart and with this opportunity, and I'm very humble by the opportunity, and I know that if I continue to study and pray and try to come up with words that really impact us, because most of us, we won't probably get as far along the lines with the Arabic as we should. So we need to have someone who can go into the Arabic and come away with something in English that benefits us. It won't necessarily be the same benefit, but it'll take a lot of the darkness away and a lot of light that we need, and a lot of connections that we can make that we didn't know were there, because it was in the dark, or it was deceitful. It was deceiving. It didn't appear to be what it really was or really is. So that's my hope. That's my invitation. It's not no pressure, no problem. But I just like to, since it's a small group of us tonight, like to invite people to have a word or two if they're so inclined. So having said that, I would like if Brother Mark would do us the honor and sort of bring us up to par with what we've got else to look forward to. This is Monday, and we got four more days or so to enjoy. You know, I haven't mentioned it, but I want to mention it, and that is that, you know, to be able to receive an invitation of the magnitude that we received it, to go forth and tell the people that there is a God, He answers prayers, and He is most merciful benefactor and most merciful redeemer. That type of insurance or assurance is really powerful when you look at it. And all this that people tried to do,
is coming undone. And one of the main things is, like I said, about the Jewish people saying never again, it's time for us to do something for ourselves. It just is. You know, we got to get over the messenger. We got to get over a lot of other stuff that we've been hung up with and we can't let hang us up. And we got to embrace something that will help us get unstuck with what we're sticking on. And, you know, I used to hear this. I used to say this, too. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So it is time. It is time for us to shed the little old shallow things that we hold on to keep us from working together and come together, give your God-given talent an opportunity to be a part of something big and do what you can do and don't look back and don't let anybody convince you that what you're doing is not of a benefit. And when if it's not, then make it benefit. Make it do what it do. Because that's the opportunity that's waiting on us, that people can look back and say, there was a time when these people, every degradation and every compromising and situation befall them, and they still overcame it and got in a position to try to make a contribution and try to not only improve their lives, but other people's lives. That's the legacy I'm hoping that we as a people will leave. And like I said before, it's not necessarily going to be a lot of numbers, but just to really embrace and empower yourself with that type of thinking and then wait for Allah to do the rest. And Allah tells us he gives without counting. So I just hope that resonates with people and they do something a little different tomorrow than they did today to help that cause. So, Brother Michael, Mark, if you would just give us a brief little idea of what's coming ahead on the calendar, I would appreciate it. Oh, 773. Okay. I'm sorry. Let me switch up. You were moving faster than I'm thinking. So, 773.
Assalamu alaykum, Sister Mira.
What about my son?
Thank you, Brother Pasha, for that message you brought to us today, and especially that last comment that you was making about us shedding some of our old thoughts and beliefs and coming up to modern times, really what it is, and embracing a new way of being that represents progress. I was having a conversation with, as a matter of fact, someone yesterday and today relative to just what you were just saying. And the message that you gave to us today was so valuable. It was so insightful. It was so informative. And like you said, it's time to not just say, but to do. And your program is also like a learning lab, you know, because what you say allows you to speak from your soul. And people could readily understand it and make some distinctions, you know, because you say a lot of things in layman terms, and sometimes that's how we need to hear things that resonates with our soul. So, and I so appreciate having the opportunity to go back and listen to the replay. It's almost like I'll be studying them, you know, because it's a lot in what you say, and I'm just not saying this. I mean that, you know, because I'm trying to grow in I'm sure we all could look back on our life and say something we miss, and when someone says it, it resonates with us. So I just want to say I appreciate you as well, and may Allah continue to bless you. Something like that.
Well, it's Muslim. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, Brother Mark.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Excellent broadcast tonight here, and want to just say to the radio listening audience that the beat goes on here, and I want to just also say that our theme, or at least I should say my theme this year, is that the heart is the core that ignites the mind to produce more. That's my theme this year, and hopefully that myself and all the hosts here on IWDM Radio will have that same thought and mindset. And I say I mean to that, and what Imam Pasha was saying in terms of the dua that he has made, and all is all good. So to that I say I mean. And the beat does go on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Tuesday, and Tuesday night means that the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his off-returning guest host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of your health and you. But this year, at the beginning of the year, he has expanded his broadcast to include not only health but also wealth. And this is really an expansion of information and education here on IWDM Radio, as he showed the correlation between the two in terms of health is wealth, and wealth can also be seen in your health. And there's abundance of information. This is a learning lab, the science of your health and wealth. Each and every Tuesday, it's a three-hour production. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. You need to bring your pens and pad for that learning lab. Wednesday is time for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. Each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday, and that's when Rashid Salam sets in with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective or Islamic base, and also how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And this is also a learning lab that you need to have your pen and your pad, because there will be some noteworthy things that can and will be said that can and will help you, your family, and community. It begins each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam Muhammad. And I have guests that's not in our community and oftentimes will take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. I want to alert you that this year, this coming Wednesday, end of the new year, we will have a lot of different guests that haven't appeared on MGM Roundtable, inshallah. And so one is going to be our good brother and my good friend, Kareem Hawk, a very distinguished writer and pretty much has an encyclopedia he called A Manual to the 13th Amendment. Yeah, that's right, the 13th Amendment. And so I will be interviewing him and also dialoguing with him on the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment, that support of the United States Constitution that actually had an impact on the lives of African American people. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be, I think, outstanding with information and education on the 13th Amendment, also the 14th and 15th Amendment. And that would be this Wednesday on the MGM Roundtable beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab 2, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Yes, and it's going on its ninth year, extended from the sister station AM 360 now on IWDM Radio with yours truly, Mark Shaheed and Khalila Akbar, our co-host for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we look to have a very distinguished couple on this Thursday, inshallah. And we're on the True Love Recipe. You know, those qualities and ingredients that are organic and natural, and the preservatives they designed to preserve and maintain and sustain what true love is in the sacred institution of marriage. So you don't want to miss that. That's each and every Thursday. And so this Thursday will be a special Thursday, so you want to tune in for that. It will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salatu Jumai Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized, who can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, out of Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, for Salatu Jumai. It begins each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, the latest production here on IWDM Radio, once again hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir on the Muslim Book Club. That's right, you heard it correct. The Muslim Book Reading Club, I should say. God left that word out, very important. And the first book is a two-volume book on our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, and that would be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. This is an outstanding contribution by one of our educators extraordinaire, Dr. Zakia Muhammad Rahim Anna, who passed away but left an excellent contribution. Once you pick up that book on Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation, it's going to be difficult to put down. A lot of great information and education on our story here in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And there's a reading, there's commentary, there's insight that is shared by those who tune in and listen. It happens each and every Saturday. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio, and that is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? Remember where you first heard it? Remember this past year, time to be grateful there in the Meadowlands in New Jersey? Well, you can get Words Make People here on IWDM Radio each and every Sunday afternoon, hosted by the distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir, as he always have very, very distinguished guests that visit Words Make People, and it happens each and Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we just heard it live each and every Monday with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts an outstanding production that's titled ABC, but that stands for Al-Islam-based conversation. And there's a variety of topics that are talked about from an Islamic perspective. And so, you know, a conversation can disseminate great information and education. And so this is a production that you want to tune in and be a part of. And so we want you to be sure to inform your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members, put it in announcements in your local messages and Islamic centers in terms of IWDM Radio, because this production, like all other productions, each and every day, 7 days a week, they're designed to be a benefit not only to you, but also your family, your friends, your neighbors, and also community members. So please tune in each and every Monday for ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation. It begins at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, we want you to know that IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. So please, if you allowed your subscription to lapse, please pick it back up again. If you are a one-year subscriber, you know we want to do more in 2024. That should be the motto. We want to do more in 2024. So think about how you can do more in terms of positive contributions. And one of those ways is to subscribe to the Muslim Journal. And what you was doing last year and before, you want to do more in 2024. Make it a two-year subscription. If you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer, or your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. Nobody has enough barakats. And so just to think like that and to follow up on that, many, many blessings can come to you and for you because you are thinking how you can do more in this year, 2024. And so with that, as always, I close. This salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Until next time, assalamu alaikum. And back to you, my brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Wa alaikum assalam. As I said, we're going to come to an end with this tonight. We appreciate you and you appreciate your presence, and we thank Allah. Continue to bless and fill your heart and head with the desire to serve him and better serve humanity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.